It's so great to have all of you here on campus today. Also great to have all of you who are viewing online. Today is Get Connected Sunday here at North Star, where we highlight two really important things. Number one, we like to highlight the importance of community. That church is not primarily about an event. It's not primarily about a service. That church is about a community. So we like to take Get Connected Sunday to remind everyone here, whether you belong to North Star or not, we want to remind people that what we do here is not an event. It's not entertainment. We are people. We are a community where we need to be known, we need to be seen, we need to be loved and supported. So that's the first thing we try to highlight, a message that reminds us of the importance of community. But then also we like to give you a very practical opportunity to get connected to one of our small groups. That is one of the easiest ways to get linked up in community here at North Star. As you came in today, if you're in person, you would have received a new small group booklet for the fall session. I'm going to ask you nicely to pay attention to the message today. I know it's very enticing to look at the book. I'm just kidding. You can look at the book as often as you want. But you have that here. If you're online, that'll be available to you hopefully by tomorrow. You can view it online at www.northstarcolumbia.org. So that's what we're doing today. But then also, we're also in this series on following Jesus that Pastor Brian opened up in September, where we are trying to help everyone see the importance of paying attention to not only what Jesus said, but what Jesus actually did. In this series, we want to prioritize what Jesus prioritized so that our lives will become more free, more whole, and more of what God has designed them to be. Last week, if you were here, Pastor Brian talked about the importance of patience in the life of faith, and it is my hope that some of you were able to take it off the shelf this past week and not put it back on the shelf, if you know what I mean. Are you serious? No laughter? He did the message last week about pulling it off the shelf. You don't remember? Come on, guys. You know you're going to have to do something now. I need some activity. Online people, wave or something. My goodness. Today we're going to be looking at another important element of following Jesus. The passage that we're going to consider today is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. If you're online, yell at me and let me know when you have it. I don't hear anybody online. Ready? I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version of Scripture. The writer of Hebrews writes here in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This is God's word. The title of today's message is Life in Relationships, the Power of Connection. Life in Relationships, the Power of Connection. On Thursday, it was my wife's birthday. And I took her to Greenville, and we spent the entire day in Greenville. We had a great time. But before we left, one of my neighbors saw me outside getting something out of my truck. And you know how neighbors are. He waved. I waved. I like him. He's a good guy. We've been talking for the last couple of months here and there. Brief conversations, nothing too substantial. But you know when your neighbor waves at you, and they have that, you know, curious look, and they start walking to the edge of their driveway, you know what that means? I want to talk. So I meet him, and we're kind of in his yard, and he talks again about the car. He likes my car, so we talked about that. This conversation was different than every other conversation. Normally, we stay on the car. We talk about yard work. And I don't try to push too much. I just want to keep it open. But he pushed this time. He talked about the fact that one of the kids in the house is a stepchild, and he talked about some of the children he has from a previous relationship, previous marriage. And he talked a little bit about his marriage. And it was just odd that he would just start talking, but he was talking about himself, so I just listened. I didn't have to share anything about me. Until he did this. hey, listen, I don't mean to intrude or cross boundaries, which I am scared at this point because I have no idea what this man's about to say to me. But he says, you're a pastor, right? Now, you got to understand something. I don't normally come out and tell people in my neighborhood I'm a pastor because I get nervous that if they know that, they're going to hold back. Because they're going to think, you know, I'm critiquing everything or they got to be holy fully and all that stuff. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I can't tell this man no because that's a lie. But I'm nervous about saying yes because I don't want him to shut down on me. But I have to because he brought it up. So I said, yes. And then he tells me this. He says, listen, I've been paying attention to you. Obviously, we talk, but I watch you, how you dress, how you carry yourself. And I just got to tell you, you know, I'm used to kind of a street life, you know. I'm just a certain kind of way. But I just want you to know that I'm trying to turn over a new leaf in life. And man, I love to connect. I wish I could tell you that Pastor John provoked all that. I didn't. He did. But when we went our separate ways and I went on to Greenville with my wife and he went on to do what he did, here's what came to me and I knew that I had to make this point today. Simply put, we have to be intentional about creating space for connection. Amen? We have to be intentional about creating space for connection. And here's why. Where there is authentic and genuine connection, all kinds of things become possible. Healing, growth, wisdom, renewal, encouragement, affirmation, strength. When there's real connection, people are seen, people are known, people feel and know that they matter. There is nothing like authentic connection. And the passage in Hebrews is a powerful reminder of what happens when we're connected with people on our spiritual journey. But in the context, it's easy to miss it. The letter of Hebrews, it's a strange letter in that we know very little about it. We don't actually know for sure who wrote it. We don't know for sure who the audience is that it's written to. But there's one huge thing we do know about it that's powerful. We do know that the point of the author writing it is to give a message of encouragement to a community of Jesus followers. Here's what we're told in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 22. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to put up with this message of encouragement, since I've only written a short letter to you. The writer makes it clear, the reason I even wrote this is because I want you to have comfort. I want you to have strength. I want you to feel seen. I want you to feel affirmed. I want you to be reassured. I want to remind you of your hope. Here are two encouragements from the letter that's going to link back to the whole idea of being connected with people. So remember, the whole point of Hebrews, there are a lot of other great things about it, but the primary point of Hebrews is to encourage a fledgling community of people who are finding it hard to keep going. Life is hard. It's hard in the Empire of Rome when you're trying to be faithful, living a faithful life. And they're having to deal with harassment, the taking of properties, and all kinds of terrible things. So the writer says, here's the thing. I see you. I acknowledge that you're going through. And I want you to know I am holding your arms up, and I am keeping you, and I'm reminding myself of where you are. And this is why I'm writing this to you. Keep that in mind as I read these two verses. So the first encouragement. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. The writer says, also, let's hold on to the confession since we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, who is Jesus, God's son. Because we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but instead we have one who was tempted in every way that we are, except without sin. Finally, he says, let's draw near to the throne of grace with confidence so that we can receive mercy and find grace when we need help. He tells the people that no matter where they are in the journey, no matter how chaotic or how hard life is, Jesus not only understands where they are, but gives them the boldness to go before God and get whatever they need to keep going. I'm not preaching to anybody in here this morning. Jesus understands where you are today. You hear me, online community? Jesus understands where you are today, and he gives you the boldness to go before the living God and get any and everything you need for your journey to keep going. Amen. That was some of the encouragement that they got. Amen? Amen. Let's do one more. Just because I just like the Bible. You like the Bible? There's some good stuff in here. Yeah. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Now remember, in Hebrews 11, he goes through this litany of people. Again, remember, encouraging people who are going through. He goes through Hebrews 11, and he gives us a litany of people out of the Old Testament who had gone through and yet found God to be faithful every step of the way. And so when he gives us long litany of people who stayed the course, some of them suffered horribly, but they stayed the course because they knew God had them and was upholding them for the journey, he sums it up by saying this in Hebrews 12. So then, in view of everything that just happened, with endurance, let's also run the race that is laid out in front of us. Since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let's throw off any extra baggage, get rid of the sin that trips us up, and fix our eyes on Jesus, faith's pioneer and perfecter. He endured the cross, ignoring the shame, for the sake of the joy that was laid out in front of him, and he sat down at the right hand of God's throne. He tells the people, Jesus is the one who started your journey. Remember the place in Philippians 1:6 where Paul makes that comment that Jesus is the one who starts and he will complete your journey. So he says, Jesus started your journey and he's with you in the journey. But then he encourages them, hey, listen, you're on the journey. Jesus is with you. He started. But you might have to let go of some stuff that's getting in the way of you running well. And he tells them, hey, listen, in view of that, stay focused and remember that Jesus endured because he knew what was on the other side of the cross. I am not preaching to anybody today. Say, are you listening?
I am.
Amen. So for you and me today. Okay, Stacey, now I ask you one question. Now all that, you know, I don't need your help, okay? So if you're following Jesus, he's in the journey with you. And I have good news. If you're here and you're not sure about Jesus or the journey, the good news is he's welcoming you to the journey too. But if you're on the journey, the encouragement may be to let go of some of the stuff that might get in the way of you journeying well. And don't forget, stay focused on Jesus. There's something on the other side of whatever cross you're bearing right now. Now, those are just two of the ways the writer tried to encourage his audience. And you might be wondering, as I was thinking about this, what in the world does it have to do with the relationships and what does it have to do with being connected with people? Well, the passage today in Hebrews 10, 23-25, I think, will help us see what this has to do with connections and what it has to do with relationships. The passage tells us three things that I want us to look at very briefly this morning. Number one, the passage tells us about the problem of neglect. The problem of neglect. The second thing the passage shows us is the power of encouragement. And then the third and final thing, it shows us the promise of connection. So first, the problem of neglect. Secondly, the power of encouragement. And thirdly, the promise of connection. So let's first look at the problem of neglect. In verse 24, the writer says that we need to consider how to stir, in the Greek it's stir people up. He wants us to consider how to stir people up to love and good works. Not neglecting, that is, not stopping to meet together as is the habit of some. Now, before I even comment, let me be very clear to the online community. This is not going to be some slam against you not being in the building, because that's not the primary point that we have here today. The writer of Hebrews knows the people are struggling, as I've already told you. The people are struggling, and they're dealing with a lot of difficult things. And he knows, as you do and as I do, he knows what happens when people in community struggle. When people are discouraged, when they're overwhelmed, when they're stuck, when they feel alienated, or they're just burned out from the demands of life. When that stuff starts happening, if we're honest with ourselves, we stop doing the very thing that could actually help us. We stop showing up. We stop making space in our lives for people. And I want to be honest. I think I get that, and the writer gets it too. We know life can be messy, and we know life can be hard. We can become overwhelmed to the degree that we sometimes feel lost. Sometimes it's because of marriages that are not in a good place, or the demands of life crowding out, and it's hard for you to make time for community and people. Work-life balance is out of whack. It can be a whole host and litany of things that gets in the way, that causes us to stay away from the very thing, people and community, that God actually will use to bless us. But here's the thing. Disconnecting from spaces and people that God has orchestrated to be a blessing to you is not the answer, folks. Not the answer. The text actually reveals the problem when we intentionally neglect making space for other people in our journey. And I'm going to do it in the form of a question. How can we carefully help each other and stir things up in each other if we're not present to each other? When we neglect to intentionally make space for the people that God has called us to journey with, we forfeit being blessed by them, and we forfeit being a blessing to them. And that's what I think the writer is trying to show us. He's telling the people, I know things are hard right now, but don't disconnect from the very spaces that God wants to use to fortify your life. Sometimes a prayer, a simple conversation, someone listening to you, talking over your problems with someone, not because you're looking for someone to fix you, but because you're looking for someone to see you. These are little things, but these are the kind of connections that keep people in the race. It is my understanding that the people receiving the letter of Hebrews probably made it to the finish line. You know why? Because someone saw them, understood their plight, understood what they were going through, and had the audacity, the courage, and the love to say, I'm going to send them a letter reminding them that they are anchored in Jesus so that they don't float away. I want them to know that they are kept. The problem with neglecting the spaces and the people that God is calling us to journey with is that, like I said, we forfeit so many of the ways that God is actually trying to meet us, answer us, and work on our behalf. Now, I want you to sit with that for a moment. Is it possible that the reason that you're not experiencing certain things that you want to experience from God, it's not because He's not offering it. It's not because He's not giving it. It's not because He's not sending the answer. It's because you refuse to show up with the people and places that He wants you to be. Okay. If there is an appointed place and an appointed relationship for you to get something, I don't care how much you pray over there, you ain't gonna get it. You hear me? Okay. If God is saying, here is your tribe, these are the few, because again, you can't do deep relationship with everybody, and that's not what the point of these messages are. You can't be close to everybody, and I'm not suggesting that. But you got to be close with some people. And it can't just be your spouse. It can't just be your kids. You need people outside of your house who can speak into your life and say some stuff to you. Okay? But the thing is, you got to open yourself up for that. I'm going to linger just a little bit longer on this because I think it's important. I love praying, right? I love the scriptures. But at the end of the day, if God has called me to connect with people and that's how He wants me to grow, there are certain things I'm not going to get from my Bible reading. There are certain things I'm not going to get from being in the prayer closet all day long. I know a lot of folk, and I used to be one. Thank God I hope I'm not that same way anymore. But there are a lot of folk who know the Bible at the back of their hand, and they have the depth and maturity of a teenager. No disrespect to you teenagers. You don't have the benefit of extra years yet. You'll know what I mean later. And that is not a judgment where I'm attacking people. It's to prove the point and to make the point that I think is so clear in the text. We need people. And when we neglect and we edit people out of our lives and we distance ourselves from people because they make us uncomfortable, they say difficult things to us, could it be that that's God's way of blessing you? God shows up primarily in the context of another person. Ah, I know you want heaven open. I know you want the floor to shake when you pray. That's not typically how God shows up. God shows up with the person who sees you, loves you, and has the audacity to tell you things that you wish they didn't tell you. But because they love you, they have to. Like this writer says over and over again, you know, I know you're on the journey and I do love you, but you got to keep going. Because if you give up, you forfeit. Neglected things don't grow. When we neglect spaces and people God has called us to, you don't have to try to stagnate. You just do. You just do. And we do. I do. Which is why we need the power, point two, we need the power of encouragement. In the text, if you look at it, if you have your Bibles, if you look at the text, neglecting to meet together, that is, being present to one another, and I want to go back to this for a moment. The idea of meeting together, obviously, in Hebrews, was about showing up in space, right? They didn't have the benefit of all the technology that we have, okay? So this is not a, you know, you need to be here thing. The whole point here is being present to people. You can be present to people in a lot of ways. So let me just start with that, okay? But in the text, neglecting to meet together, that is, being present to one another, is the opposite of encouraging one another. What this tells us is that encouragement is about proximity. This is not the kind of encouragement that you can find on a Hallmark card. This is not the kind of encouragement where you can just pluck a verse and throw it at somebody. This is the kind of encouragement that you can only give when you are doing vulnerable relationships with people. Verse 24 says that it tells us that we're told that we need to carefully consider how to stir things up in other people to help them on the journey. But here's the thing. How can I stir something up in somebody if I don't know them? If I don't know what makes you tick, if I don't know your gifts, if I don't know your story, I can't stir you up to do nothing. I have got to know you to even know what's in you so that I can actually partner with the Spirit and stir some stuff up in you. And vice versa. I have a friend right now, I call him the good bishop. He was just consecrated a bishop in North Carolina. And he says things to me sometimes that the truth of it is, it's like, I don't see that. But he sees that. He sees that and he says that. We're vulnerable because I open up, I share my life, he knows my story. He can get in there and stir some things up. If I'm going to stir something up in you and you're going to stir something up in me, it demands that we spend some time getting to know each other. Which means if we're going to have the kind of powerful encouragement that this text calls for, we have to both be willing to share our lives and also be willing to enter into people's lives. And I'm going to be honest with you, as some of you already know this, but I'm going to say it anyway for our teenagers just in case they don't know it yet. This is messy stuff. To get involved in people's lives with all the stuff they have going on and welcoming people to get involved in your life with all the stuff you have going on, it's as if God has ordained that messiness is the context of his work. It's messy. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't bring us the kind of encouragement that he brought us through USPS mail. We're told that he became flesh and he made his dwelling in our midst. So if Jesus entered into our mess to encourage us, heal us, set us free, and all those different things, we're going to have to do the same thing. If he entered the messiness of life to offer us the kind of hope, encouragement, and the healing we need, we're going to have to be that kind of community that follows him and that we operate the exact same way. So in a very real sense, the writer here in Hebrews is inviting people to get involved in other people's lives so that they will be better able to encourage them. Back this thing up for a moment. He's writing the whole community to encourage them, but then tells them, oh, by the way, I can't keep writing letters to you. So guess what? You need to start doing this to each other. Yes, the inspired author, he writes it in Scripture. We know that. But he says, listen, yes, this is the Bible. This is going to be Scripture and all that. But you have got to actually take responsibility for your community and be present for each other. You hear me? So you got your Bible, right? That's awesome. I love that. But at some point, you have to be able to shift and pivot from the Bible to people's lives, is what I'm saying. Right? Everything can't just be, well, the Bible says this. Okay, I get that. The Bible says these things. But how are you supposed to be showing up to each other based on what the Bible is saying? So he invites them to get involved in each other's lives. So this kind of invitation is kind of powerful because, as one New Testament scholar, Scott McKnight, says, to make space for another person is to invite change. Okay? To make space for another individual in your life is to invite change, because you don't invite people into your life and it not touch you in some way. The kind of encouragement that comes through close proximity can be found all over Scripture, but I'm going to give you two insights from 1 and 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Paul, the mentor, writing to his protege, he says to him in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. You know what's fascinating about the text? That's pretty particular, isn't it? Because some of us, as we get older, that won't really apply to us as much. Love your neighbor as yourself, always applicable. Hey, don't let people look down on your youth. Well, if I'm 70, 80 years old, I mean, no one can really look down on my youth, right? Because I'm older. But this kind of particular statement is made because Paul and Timothy are doing this. They're doing life together. So Paul knows enough about what's going on with Timothy to know, I know you struggle a little bit with this. I know you sometimes deal with insecurity. So let me tell you, don't let people despise you because you're young. You see what's going on? He can speak very clearly and encourage him because he's invited him into his life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, my absolute favorite. Paul says again to Timothy, for this reason I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Let's be clear. This does not sound like a random statement. Oh, Paul, Timothy, just rekindle some gifts. Maybe he's writing to a young man who's tired, who's struggling. And Paul is saying, Timothy, they're in there. The gifts are in there. But you got to keep fanning. You got to keep rekindling. How can you say that to Timothy? Because I know him. Because Paul knows him. We work together. This is my close friend. I let him into my business. He lets me into his business. We do real life together. So I can say that to him. Anybody couldn't just say that to Timothy, because everybody doesn't know Timothy that way. There are some people in your life who can say specific things to you. And my advice is, please don't neglect meeting together with those people. Many years ago, I was 20. To be exact, and I was volunteering in the student ministry at Forest Drive, and it's amazing how these stories form you, and you don't even think about them. I hadn't thought about this in years until I was preparing this message, but I was working in student ministry, and that year of my life was extremely difficult. Many of you have heard me talk about that. I was struggling because when in a business venture, it didn't pan out. I lost everything. It was still cry about. It was just, ugh. It was very painful. It was a hard year. But I kept showing up, you know, as best I could. But there was a problem. I had a hard time sharing vulnerably about what was going on because I didn't know how to tell people, I am really, really angry with God. I am angry and I don't understand. My life is falling apart and I don't know what he's doing. And I didn't know how to tell people that. So I just kept pushing and kept showing up and kept teaching the students and just doing all this stuff. And then one day, I got a call from who was then the student ministry pastor, Bill White. I'll never forget it. He called me out of the blue, and he asked me, "Hey, John, how are you?" And I went to explain things like, you know, work is, you know, trying to find my way. You know, ministry's going okay. You know, and he listened. He didn't stop me. He listened. And then he said, "John, how are you doing?" And I realized in that moment he was inviting me to be vulnerable, and he was inviting me to be honest. So I was. I thought to myself, well, if he asks and then he goes and tells and then I get, you know, people don't like what I'm saying, I guess that's on him. I mean, he asked me. But he wasn't. He listened. He understood. And I will never forget the kind of insecurity I was experiencing in that time. And Bill White said to me, "You are still, with a failed business, you are still John Lakin, son of the living God." Now, everybody couldn't have said that because I didn't let everybody in. But when you know, it gives you something whereby you can actually partner with God in showing up in people's lives and encouraging them and supporting them so that they know they're not alone. If you want to make space for real encouragement, you have to get involved in the lives of people. So, the power of encouragement comes for what I want us to look at last of all, the promise of connection. The promise of connection. How do we overcome the problem of neglecting the spaces and the people that God has called us to? And I ask that question because I realize that it can be very hard. Most people don't neglect being vulnerable because they just want to just figure out life on their own. People carry burdens. People carry shame, trauma, all kinds of different things. So I'm asking the question, in view of what many people carry, and they're struggling to do this vulnerability, they're struggling not to neglect being with other people and being vulnerable and sharing. And I'm asking the question, how do we overcome these things? And how do we overcome the struggle of entering into people's lives and dealing with all the stuff that we probably need to deal with? And the answer, I think, is in verse 23, which was the first, but I intentionally left it for last. The writer says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." So much of Hebrews, one of my favorite books, actually, so much of Hebrews is telling us over and over again that Jesus has done everything necessary to ensure that we have connection with God. And if you have connection with God, you are now prepared to have connection with people. Hebrews 7:25 says it this way: "Consequently, Jesus is able to save completely those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." The reason that I can show up and do vulnerable community with people is because I ain't got nothing to hide anymore. Jesus has covered, he has taken care of every trauma, every issue, every shame, every sin. If I understand that in Jesus, that God has done everything necessary to cleanse me, sanctify me, and make me whole, I don't have to have all these hang-ups about doing community the way God calls me to. Most of us are struggling with community for one reason. Because Jesus still ain't it for us. We're still looking here and there for somebody to somehow fix all this stuff. And the Bible's saying, and the writer of Hebrews is saying, he's doing it. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the angels. Okay, you have the Bible where he's the last word of God. Yeah, we have priests already. Well, he's the ultimate high priest. He doesn't die. And in this text, it actually says, not only is he able to save you completely, but even now, which I don't even know what this means, it's so baffling. In some mysterious way, Jesus the Christ at this very moment is actually interceding for us. Now I want you to think about that. That is the power of connection that makes encouragement possible, and it makes it possible for us to get over our issues that keeps us neglecting the very thing that God has called to bless us, community. In fact, this whole connection, that Jesus does what's necessary to establish our connection with God, and therefore it enables and empowers us to do relationship with others, is exactly why Paul calls the church the body of Christ. Jesus didn't save us to be alone. Jesus saved us to be in community. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, my other favorite verses because I'm preaching them today. Paul writes, "But speaking the truth in love to the church at Ephesus," he says, we, the Apostle Paul is including himself, "speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament which it is equipped." Sounds like we're designed for this. Paul says that we are joined and knit together by every ligament. I'm not a doctor, and I don't know a whole lot about the body. AJ does. He talks about the body all the time. Very smart when it comes to the body. But here's what I know about the body. Everything needs everything else. Everything needs everything else. And Paul uses that to help us understand what it means to journey in community. You're not your own. You don't belong to you. Your very life is intended to be a blessing for other people, and other people's lives are intended by God to be a blessing for you. And the truth of it is, whether we want to admit it or not, we live in a culture, and it's not new. Our culture's always been this way, no matter what anybody says. We're radically individualistic, even in our churches. Me and Jesus. Jesus is my personal Savior. I mean, if he's your Savior, I think it's personal, but you see why we emphasize that. I don't need anybody else. And yet, Jesus, when he calls disciples, he forces them to have to deal with each other. Why? For this very reason. We are designed for connection. And I am not sitting up here trying to act like this is easy if you just know the Bible. This is hard stuff. But when has anything meaningful not been hard? You need the Spirit for this kind of community effort. Trust me. You know it and I do. But this is what we're called to. Joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promoting the body's growth and building itself up in love. We are joined together because of Christ. He heals us. He enters into our space. He enters into our traumas. He enters into the things that are not right. And he makes things whole. And when he does that and we work properly, we grow up, we mature, not just individually, but together. We intentionally make space for connection. And when that happens, we don't neglect each other. We encourage each other. And we keep focusing on Jesus, who is the source and the promise of all our connections. Amen. Let's pray.